Hey everyone, it's been so long, I think months since I've been on here, and that's for a couple of reasons, but mostly because I've been working way too much, and any downtime I have is focused on self-care, including yoga, running, sort of home organization, and enjoying some time with friends and family, period. I just said period. Because I'm so used to sending texts and emails with voice dictation. That was funny. That tells you how much I'm working. But a couple things recently just kind of reminded me about the podcast and that I wanted to share. And they're sort of random thoughts, but kind of sticking with me. One of them involves a yoga class that I took that was a pre-recorded class through yogaworks.com, which was my studio where I went to in-person classes before COVID. It's now been gone out of business in terms of the in-person classes, most of them at least. I'm not sure if all of them, but they do have quite an online platform in terms of pre-recorded classes as well as live classes. So I was taking one of the pre-recorded classes from one of my favorite new teachers who I actually never was able to take an in-person class with because she taught at a different studio than I went to. But, you know, she's very well known within the community and people love her. So I've been taking her class online and I find her to be very inspirational in terms of just her sequencing, but as well as her wisdom and how she kind of weaves through the class a theme that has something to do with the poses, and it's you know, you get something out of the class other than the physical aspects of yoga, which are huge, but also any yoga class where you are focusing on the poses and breathing, you're naturally going to get something spiritual and psychological to take away from it that is profound, regardless of whether or not the teacher talks about anything of wisdom. But if they do, then you get this added benefit to it. And Mia always has a themed class in which she does weave through some wisdom. So this class I took a couple days ago had a theme focused on, I can't remember what it's called, but it was basically being vulnerable and allowing your vulnerability to shine and not being embarrassed or hiding your vulnerability to seem like you are stronger or different than you're really feeling on the inside, which our society, most usually in the United States, is very, I mean, even on other cultures, a lot of Eastern cultures are like this as well, where it's like very goal-oriented and not so much about emotional intelligence or sharing your emotions with others. But she talks about how if you don't share that vulnerability, then you're keeping it all inside and you're sort of forced to deal with it on your own, which can be very difficult. And it kind of leads people to avoid the pain or avoid the suffering or avoid the lessons that they will likely learn during a difficult transition or a difficult situation or time in life. She used the example of that she, within the last year of the recording, she had to put two of her beloved dogs to sleep and they died in her arms, and she was currently dealing with a terminal ill dog as well. So, you know, obviously this was affecting her in every way. And she, instead of keeping it to herself and just sort of grunting her way through life and through her, you know, obligations or whatever, especially as a yoga teacher, she instead feels how important it is to express those vulnerable and parts of ourselves that are feeling not as strong or insecure or incapable or just needing help. And if we avoid them, then they just come to haunt us even further, because they're always going to, the pain or the suffering will always be there. It'll just either be dealt with or it'll be showing up in our lives in other ways. So she basically was teaching about the importance of non-avoidance of these difficult times in our lives, and that if we avoid the pain, then we are also avoiding the joy. And you can't have one without the other. Because, for example, if she's dealing with a dog who she loves, who is part of her family, who is going through an illness and transitioning, possibly, you know, from this life to the next, if she tries to avoid it as though it's not happening, she's also not going to be feeling the love and the joy and the gratitude she has for having this dog in her life. And so she explains how one is just as important as the other. It's almost like you can't have the light without the dark, and vice versa. So that class was really inspirational and just had me thinking a lot about how I go about life. And I feel like I'm sort of one of those people who is extremely expressive, probably anyone on a podcast. And, you know, I do tend to talk about things in my life that a lot of people might not talk about, and I just feel that it helps me. You get people's support that way, and I would want it the same way with my people I care about, and I would want to know what they were going through versus someone who is putting on an act or whatever, and you can't intervene or try to help. So that was one thought that I had that I thought was pretty powerful. And, you know, I just wanted to leave that here in case that did help anyone. It's not like this hugely, you know, novel piece of wisdom, but it the way she worded it felt very important in terms of if you're avoiding the difficulties of it, then you're also avoiding the joy. Because I never thought of it that way. The other thing I was going to talk about was one of my best friends from college had a dream about me this week, and I actually had a dream about her the same night. So the next day, she texted me saying, I had a dream about you last night, and we were back in college, and we were just enjoying whatever was happening. And I said, oh my God, I dreamt about you too. And she was really, really strong in my mind the next morning, and then she texted me saying that. So it was just wild, and I think it's not far out there that happens, where people have this spiritual connection and there's sort of like a synchronicity going on to really pay attention to. And so we decided to call each other and, you know, catch up, and we were talking. She was asking me how I'm feeling, given that I do suffer from autoimmune conditions, as I've said before, and, you know, it's a lot of the topic of my podcast. But that it comes in waves, and I essentially get flare-ups like anyone else with autoimmune conditions, and the way the flare-ups show up is by your symptoms. And I actually have been having some spreading of my vitiligo in the last month or so, where I'm noticing new loss of pigment on my face, on my hands, and I haven't dealt with that in a long time, since probably my PhD program, which was over 10 years ago. So it's a little bit scary, because you don't know when it's going to stop or how far it's going to spread, and especially when it's on your face and it's, you know, a harder area to cover. And when it first happened, when I was like in my late 20s, I think I was going through a painful breakup, and that was kind of the first thing that showed up. And it was extremely difficult to deal with because it was new, and I didn't know how to cover it, and I didn't know what to say to people, especially my friends. And now that, you know, people know about it, it's not as uncomfortable, but it's like dealing with new areas of loss of pigmentation. It's sort of like brings up that PTSD of that first time that I had to deal with it, because now it's like it's showing again, and I have to figure out how to cover it and how to stop it and all that. And she said to me, well, why do you think it's spreading? And I said, well, honestly, I think like any autoimmune conditions, it's basically your body is usually reacting, obviously, to a stressful thing in your life that's causing your cortisol levels to probably rise, and your adrenals, and the HPA axis, which is fight or flight, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, and that connection is rising, and your body goes into fight mode in people who have inflammation in their body when they are stressed. And then however the symptoms show up, they start to appear. So there's obviously I think it takes a few months, for me at least, to show up. It's like a lag. So in my analysis of this, a lot went on this past year in 2022. I got partially laid off at my job of 22 years, which was shocking, and obviously led me into fight or flight, not just emotionally, but physically, because I was fighting to keep my job, and I was scared as to what I was going to do when my salary got cut in half, which ultimately, after I fought, and didn't win, and the actual reduction took place, I did find another half-time job. So essentially now I have two half-time jobs, but really it's two full-time jobs that I'm getting paid half-time for. So full salary, but two full-time jobs, but one full salary. And the stress of not only the initial feelings that came with this this meeting telling me that this was happening, and then fighting with HR and just fighting with, you know, my colleagues about trying to find something to help support me, and then getting this other job offer, and essentially, you know, after 22 years having to prove myself again and really work hard, especially while not feeling well. And that's the thing with autoimmune conditions that people don't know who don't have them. You have no idea how hard it is for us to function on a daily basis. Now, this isn't all the time, but if we're under a flare-up or if we're under stress, it is so hard for us to just function, just to get up in the morning, you know, have the energy to put on makeup, to figure out an outfit, to commute to work, to then have to focus and think, especially if it's something new and hard, there's a learning curve. So for me, that was extremely difficult, and still is, because it's only been a few months. And as a result, I'm not surprised that my body has had this flare up and this reaction. So she and I were talking about that, and, you know, she said for her, obviously she doesn't have autoimmune conditions, so she doesn't know what it's like to feel how I feel, and she never will, hopefully. But she said there was a time in her life a few years ago where she was working so much that she worked herself into a full-on exhaustion and a full-on mental, you know, complete exhaustion. I wouldn't say breakdown, but it was just like her body and her mind had enough. So she had a choice to make, and she presented a case to her employer, again, also of 22 years, because we both got jobs pretty much out of college, and saying, you know, I can't continue at this rate anymore. This is like very, very difficult. It's affecting my quality of life and my well-being. And this is what I'm proposing, is essentially to work, you know, less hours. This is my proposition. And they said, no, it's either all or nothing. So she had a choice to make. Do I continue to put myself through this, or do I step down and try to allow myself the space and the respect to accommodate the needs that myself, you know, my mental capacity and my physical capacity were asking for. And she obviously spoke to her husband, because they have three young kids, and, you know, asked, like, is this going to be okay? Like, we're going to be making a significant salary cut. I mean, it was significant, over $20,000 a year. A month, which is huge, obviously. And they made the decision that their quality of life was going to be more important than the money. So she stepped down. And she was able to kind of start her own business and consult and make decent money, but nothing to that amount. And she said she's never regretted it. She's been happier ever since. And, you know, it's just life is short and you have to allow yourself the space to figure out what makes you happy. And it's not always money. I mean, obviously, we all know that. And then it made me think about my situation and how long or how sustainable it is and how happy, if I'm happy, and what would change for me to be happy, or what was it about my job, either job, that was causing me conflict inside and feelings of, you know, inadequacy and insecurity and just a lot of anger and resentment. And so that's my job now, to figure that out and what is the right path for me. And the good news is that I feel I've worked so hard in my life to have a lot of options. And I do have a sense that I could build a life in terms of my career in a way that would work for me, versus kind of this feeling of desperation to take whatever came my way. So I feel good about that. It's just a matter of whether I have the strength to do it and the confidence to do it and create something different than what I'm used to. Because as we all know, comfort is very easy to stay in that space for forever. But you will never really know if you don't take risks and if you don't allow yourself to experience something different. And I do know that just in this few months where I've experienced this other job, which is totally different than my current job, I've learned so much, and I wouldn't take it back. Even though it's extremely challenging, it still has taught me a lot already, and I feel like I'm part of something totally different and exciting, and, you know, meeting new people. And if you're stuck in the same place for my whole life, I would never know. So I am open to this prospect of potentially creating another type of setup for myself and improving my quality of life as a result, especially with my autoimmune conditions and not pushing things to even a normal, someone who didn't have autoimmune conditions, you know, would find this to be challenging. So for me, I think out of respect for myself and my situation, I think it probably would be ideal to make my life a little easier and not feel like this grind is absolutely necessary, because really it's just hurting myself. So I'm trying to think about that and work on it and figure out if I would really be able to carve out something that would work for me. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us, in terms of really taking the time to take stock in your lives, in all areas of your life, and find out if it's working for you. And I think especially after COVID, we all went through this really traumatic experience. Again, whether we realize it or not, there was a lot of trauma that was there, in so many areas and in so many different ways. And it changed so many things. There was so much loss. And I think not everyone is good at dealing with that. Not everyone bounces back. Not everyone has the ability to move on or to move forward or carry on, you know, after such a huge change. So I think I'm one of those who it's like that really affected me. And I think all of the things that it took away, it's been hard for me to kind of get them back or feel the same that I did prior to it. Although I feel it was a good thing in my life and for others, although, you know, there was so much sadness and loss, of course. But if you look at it from a different perspective, I think it taught many of us a lot of lessons, and culturally, across the globe as well. But I think people need to really examine how it affected them and what it is that they need to move forward and to find meaning in their life and fulfillment. And if it's doing something different or taking stock, like I said, or examining how, what's working and what's not working, how they maybe can be more vulnerable. And if something isn't working, how can you express that and to whom can you trust in order to help figure out how to move forward in a way that is beneficial to your overall well-being and your quality of life and your loved ones? Because not only do our lives affect us, but they affect everyone around us. And I think it's important to really understand that. And that's a lesson that I am really working towards. And it's interesting because, you know, many of us do suffer in life because our brains overthink things or catastrophize things or have, you know, have a lot of anxiety or whatever it is. And I think it's important to encourage people to find happiness or contentment or peace however they can, and also to support our loved ones and even strangers alike, because we all want the people around us to feel safe and secure in the end, and especially ourselves. You owe it to yourselves. So that's all. I will probably take some time in the next couple of episodes to talk about this other new job and things that are happening with work, but I wanted to kind of just reintroduce myself into this platform and kind of let you all know that I'm still around. And I hope everyone is doing well. And we're having these torrential rain storms in California right now, and I know other parts of the U.S. But I've had two windows blow out, and there's leaking coming through, and there's been hail this morning, so it's been kind of gnarly. But anyways, I hope everyone's staying safe, taking care of yourselves and each other. And what do I always say at the end? Ahimsa, do no harm to yourselves. No, what do I say? Ahimsa, do no harm to yourselves and each other. I'm not exactly sure if that's how I say it, but in any case, you get the point. And I will talk to you all later. Take care. Bye. Stay safe.